Do you know what your partner's up to when you're away and they're all alone?
No, what?
They're listening to the Screw podcast, of course.
What's that?
Sit back, relax, and listen.
And you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. Sneaking in the back door with dirty magazines. So your mother wants to know what all the stains on your jeans. And you're an orgasm addict.
Oh, shit. I was going to have my blunt ready to spark. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the crew. I'm a second behind in life, per usual.
It does happen, my dear. It happens. It happens. I'm probably about like an hour and 10 minutes behind my life today, but you know, it's okay. Like I was telling you, like I was outside of where I record. I'm make this vague so nobody gets in trouble. And there was a young college man smoking a blunt. And I'm either creepy dad or cool dad, cool older gentleman who came over and said, "Hey, I would totally love you forever if you gave me a track to that blunt right now."
I love that so much.
He's so excitedly obliged. And I'm like, oh, I forgot the Southwest can be like really sweet. Like, you know, a lot of the time where like if people have, they like share, and you know, that's my vibe, like I think most of the time. You know, so it was good. It was good because I'm like, ah, oh, you know, I love recording this podcast, but it's a lot more fun. A little stone.
Of course.
I mean, because think what we talk about. I think the times when like I don't get a little stone, I get like, I talk about politics for 45 minutes, so, which, look, I think is important. For instance, the Pope just said, like, same-sex marriage has his blessing, reversing his, like, previously held position as a bishop. That's
good.
Yeah, that's a, like, do not go backwards kind of energy, you know?
I like that. That's nice. That's a nice, like, you know, change of pace in the world.
Yeah. I mean, like, look, you look around and apparently this Pope has like a MAGA brother or something, whatever, you know, but it's like, it's good to see like the willingness of some of the spiritual community to like kind of try to think forward a little bit. I mean, I know it's a numbers game, you know. I mean, actually, I hate it because I hate to see people indoctrinated into religion. So scratch that, reverse that. Hey, look, I got to be real. I got to be real. The only thing, like, again, spirituality, cool. You know, and I think that is the vibe out here in the Southwest. Like, there's a lot of, like, crystal loving and, like, like, you know, I'm going to take this healing stone and, like, you know, just great energy with the outdoors. And that stuff's awesome. You know, you feel that kind of tranquil connection to, like, the great big outdoors here. And that's nice. And I think that's a great kind of spirituality to have, you know. Like, I don't mind astrology. I think that shit is entertaining. And, you know, of all the, like things being thrown around there, positions of stars and dates and like the mathematics of the universe makes a lot more sense to me than some of this Jesus freak stuff. So, you know, that's where I stand on. I don't know why I got Southern all of a sudden. I think this happens when one goes on tangents, you feel like you're orating on a box, like somewhere in like the South along your political train route. Anyway.
Oh my Jesus Christ.
That was a good blunt.
Yeah.
Holy shit, it was.
Yeah.
So
your blunt was good too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah, that's right. I heard the spark. Like, we're not on camera today because like I'm dealing with kind of outdated, and we're the internet of the world is faltering in some places. Let's just say that way. So I can't see what my co-host is doing today, which is usually, you know, pretty entertaining. So yeah. So, you know, what have you, how are you doing? What's going on?
Oh, you know, back from Mexico.
Yeah, you get a tan.
Not kind of like yeah. I don't know. I wasn't really as fun as much as like I probably
would have wanted to be. Expected.
Well, no, I just. No, not really. It was too fucking hot.
Oh,
you know?
Like, yeah, that's true.
Like, there's just, like, all, like, the chairs to lay out are, like, under shade because it's just not, like, laying out in the sun is not a good idea. You need to be, like, in the pool if you want to be in direct sunlight, you know?
I got you. So, I got you.
I got a little tan, but it wasn't anything crazy. Definitely, like, you know. Could use a little more sun. I say that, but like I'm looking at my skin and I'm like, nah, I got pretty tan. But
yeah, I mean, you're gonna come out here in 5 years and I'm gonna be like as dark as midnight. Like, I
Oh god, yeah, okay.
I mean, no, I'm serious. Even like, and look, I put the screen on, I like wear hats when necessary, but like eventually. This triple digit big sky no shade kind of place, you just are bronze at least all summer. Like it's kind of unavoidable. And like I keep thinking it's got to be safer because like, you know, if I get a little darker, I can like go out for like a 20 minute walk without freaking out, you know.
Well, I'm proud of you.
Yeah, I don't get
threw up dipped in SPF every 5 minutes.
Like, dipped in SPF, baby. Yeah, so, well, that's good. I'm glad you got back safely. You don't have any, like, difficulty traveling or anything. No chaos in the adventure, at least by plane and whatnot.
No, my mom was one of the people that was picked to be, like, extra searched, which is funny. But
oh, that's other than funny.
That, no. It's just... I mean, I had the flu on the way home and like it was not, I mean, it was like post flu, but I was still like dealing with like the, you know, the pains and the aches and shit. So it was just like shitty and
the yuckies.
I mean, like, yeah, like I was upgraded to first class, but I couldn't even like enjoy it because I wasn't hungry and I didn't want to drink anything. And, like, you know, they're like serving meals and alcohol and I'm like, I'm all set.
Oh,
just,
like, no, bummer. That sucks.
Yeah, I also realized during this trip that, like, I just don't like drinking really that much anymore. Like, I don't mind, like, you know, a cocktail or, like, a frozen drink by the pool. But, like, one or two is, like, my limit. Like, yeah. I just don't like it. It's not. I had unlimited access to alcohol. I had a mini bar in my room they refilled daily refills. It came with wine, bourbon and vodka, and I never opened a single bottle.
Really?
I took one beer out of the fridge just like the first day, just like cracked it open when I got to my room, you know. And then after that, the only thing they had to refill was the Mexican Diet Cokes, Mexican soda, Coca-Cola, and then like all the snacks.
Oh my god.
Every day I was like, I just need the snacks and the water refill. They're like, okay, FedEx.
Oh my god, that's like, so funny.
I ate everything in sight, but I did not drink. Like everybody else was just like, especially like the first few days, like they were just fucking wasted, and I was like, no, I don't have like a like that desire. It just doesn't. It doesn't feel good in my body, and like I don't know.
I can't do like day after day anymore. Like if I'm going to drink, it's like I'm going to like pick a night in the week.
And
like I'll have more than a couple, but like that's it. I'm not like doing it all weekend. I'm like trying, you know, and I'm not trying to get like hungover. Like we all know that's less and less fun as time goes by.
No, like, honestly, if I don't go to bed sober, like, after a night or a day of drinking, if I don't go to bed sober, like, I'm upset because I go to, like, I feel like shit.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm going to throw my stomach, you know, like, I just don't like going to bed with anything but, like, weed in my system. It just doesn't do, like, it sucks. And it was so funny because, so, like, after my sister got married, we all got, like, the photographers were taking, like, photos on the beach of, like, immediate family and stuff. And then there was a little cocktail hour, so I only got to, like, be a part of maybe, like, 15 minutes of the cocktail hour because I was mostly doing photos. So when I get there, they hand me, like, the drink of the the wedding or whatever, you know, my sister picked like a certain drink to like whatever. So I had that, and it was, I don't know what the fuck it was. And it was delicious though. And because I just like, I didn't want to pee 1,000 times and all that. So like I abstained from drinking a ton of water. Like I was with my sister getting her ready before the wedding. And then I had, like, first I had to get myself ready. Then I had to get my sister ready. Then I stayed with my sister up until she walked down the aisle. Like, I walked down and, like, sat down. And then, like, the person, you know, then the wedding party came in. And so I was, like, literally just in work mode the whole entire day. Like, woke up, ate breakfast. And so at the cocktail hour, I actually, like, finally, like, was like, and, like, let my hair down. Because, like, everything went off without a hitch. I got her the flowers in the right time. I did this. I didn't have a lot to do, but it was enough to, like, make me anxious, you know. So because of that, I, like, slammed two of the drinks down, like, really quick. I drank them like they were water, essentially, because I was just thirsty at that point. And, like, I just wanted a cold drink. So I just grabbed the drinks to drink. And it was funny because we were, like, you know, heading in for dinner. And I have some like alcohol in me, and I'm like, excuse me, sirs. I was like, hi, my name is Felicia. I'm the sister of the bride. I'm going to need a favor. Can you guys possibly get up on some chairs and clean off this neon light I got for her that says the name of like the, you know?
Oh my God, that's too funny.
I asked them very sweet and kindly, but nobody, like, it's not in like anybody's range, so nobody heard what I said. So it just looks like I'm like snapping and clicking and like, hello boys, clean this thing for me. So everybody's like, oh my God, you're such a boss bitch. You're like, get up on that chair. I was like, I did not say any of that. I was very kind and very like appreciative. And I told them after. So like, nice try. But everybody was like, you looked like you were being so sassy. And I was like, listen. So then I had another drink and I got wasted in that moment before dinner.
Wow. Okay.
Everybody was like, not wasted, but you know, I was tipsy. Yeah. And nobody, at this point, nobody aside from my mom and Roger has ever seen me tipsy. So they're like, funny. Oh, this is Felicia with alcohol in her. Mm. And I'm like, yeah, bitches. And then I go and eat everything in sight. And then I'm sober again. And it was, you know, back to work mode where I like recorded the whole night for my sister and all that. But
oh my God,
so,
that's
like,
so sweet of you.
So funny that I was like finally her friends finally, like, because I went to her bachelorette party with all of them, and they didn't see me drink there because I was the designated driver, you know, like I would have like one drink on the beach at 4 p.m you know, like I never drank around them. So they finally saw what like a little bit of a tipsy Felicia was, and they were like, she's so fun. And I'm like, yeah, but like she doesn't come out often because three drinks is too much. And I'm all set, you know. And it was just, like, funny that, like, I went from, you know, I drank regularly for a long time.
Sorry.
Like, very regularly. At one point, I was drinking, like, daily, like, my nightly, like, beer, you know. And now I'm just like, I can't. I'm all set. I can't.
Yeah, it's actually always amazing to me how quickly, like, you can, like, I don't know. What is the opposite of building up a tolerant, you can de-tolerance from alcohol, you know, because like, yeah, I've had drier years than others. It's not like, it's never been like my top favorite thing to do, but when I drink, I like to drink, and I like to feel a buzz. Come on, you start laughing, having, you know, music on, conversations, being stupid. So it feels exactly good. But like, I used to be able to have like 4 whiskeys, and if I have 4 whiskeys now, like I'm like loud and probably tired.
Exactly. That's the thing, is like, I have, you know, like I'll get to like it depends on how strong the drinks are, but if it's like, you know, decently strong, 2 is my limit. But like, I get there and I'm like goofy for like an hour, and then that Felicia goes to bed. She has to go eat a hot dog and go to sleep, you know. Like, like they were at the resort one night, my sister requested that I do karaoke because they have karaoke one night, and I was like, me get on stage in front of 100 or however many fucking people, because there was so many people. I was like, and make a dumbass out of myself. Of course.
So, no problem.
But of course, I was like, when I walk in, she's like, all right, they're going on. Like, we're starting in like a half an hour with the karaoke. I was like, okay, great. So I like chug 2 drinks, put in my name. I'm first up, so I can do my performance for my sister. And then I went back to my room and I went to bed. I was like,
that's amazing.
Like, I just, like, I'll party, but it's, we're going to cut it off at 10 p.m.
It was like a mic drop. You came, you saw, you conquered. That's beautiful.
And it was a good time. I had fun. It was, like, mostly drama. I mean, there wasn't really any drama at all. Like, a few people silly at, like, nothing crazy. And, like, it was good. My bio dad didn't go, which is great.
Oh, really?
Or not great for, like, my sister's mentals, duh, but it's great for like the group because, you know, he's the worst, you know, he would probably interrupt the wedding and be like, I have to pee. Like, he's that kind of person. So. But it has to be catered to, though he has his full faculties, like just annoying. So like, yeah, it was good. I feel like it was a good group of people. It wasn't too crazy. It was like, you know, it was all, there was no kids because it was an adults only resort. So it was just good.
Interesting. Good life, so like how many people like came?
I think all together it was something like, I want to say like 58 or something.
Oh, wow. Damn. That's a decent size for a destination wedding. I mean,
if you think about it, like, her stepkids alone were four people, and then most of them brought their partners. And then there was, they have like a group of cousins that they really like, and there's, you know, so like it didn't feel like a lot of people, but for a destination wedding, that's like a pretty big number to like. Yeah.
I mean, I'm impressed because I'm like, you know, I'm not sure I could like collect even 10 people to come travel to Mexico. No. So
I was like, I'd be lucky if I got my family to come to my major wedding.
That right, that's fucking awesome. Awesome. That's great. That's just, you know, super. So it's
nice. They've also been together for 17 years. So it was not one of those things that, you know how like, you know, some family members just like will opt out because they're like, oh, it's, you know, they've only been together a few years, or, you know, it's not going to be worth it to invest my money in a wedding, like a marriage that maybe won't work. Like, they've been together almost 2 decades. So it all, and engaged for like 4 years. Like, it only made sense. Like, everybody was like, of course, you know, from literally that are afraid to fly, like everybody, like, and she gave everybody enough time to save up for it. And like with the wedding, everybody got a discount through like doing it, like booking it as a group.
Oh,
so
awesome.
It was like, she made it as manageable for everybody as possible in a way where like they'd have enough time to take off time from work. She did it during a season where it's cheaper because the water has like bacteria and it's not really swimming season. You know, it's like hurricane season.
Right.
So she was really smart about booking it in a way that's like, you know, I don't want my poorest friend to not be able to afford it. And I don't want, you know, people to like not take it seriously because there's, you know, because it's a shit show because we've only been together for 4 years. You know, like they spent a lot of time and thinking about like all these details. And so it made it really good for everybody. It was good. I've like never seen a wedding go off so smoothly before, I think, you know, like there was nothing wrong.
Awesome. It's been so.
Flip up or like a trip or like there was nothing like no moment where everybody was like, you know, like nothing happened. And I was like, that's great. Like, that's a sign of a really good group of people at your wedding when like there's no drama, there's no fights, there's no drunk fights. You know, we had alcohol all, not just at the wedding, but the whole week and the whole weekend. And everybody was like behaving. It was good. Everybody was like, you know, everybody. I mean, also it was so hot out that like, you would drink and sweat it out within like
10 minutes. Yeah, I was gonna say, you know? And that's
dance, like completely just soaked, like everybody, and it was cool. I was like, this is actually amazing, but like nobody cares. Everybody's just like having a really good time, you know. It was cute.
That's awesome. That's totally awesome. Yeah, I haven't been to the last wedding I think I went to was my own. No, I mean, like, you know, you do get to a certain age and you're either like, you know, going to somebody's like second marriage wedding, which like I feel like people get invited to a lot of first weddings, but don't get invited to a lot of second weddings. I don't know if that's in my head or whatever, but like, you know, I feel like people have a hesitancy to go big, like, they're exponential times around, like, when they get married. Right. And I'm just at that age, like, either people I know have already been married for, like, the length of time your sister has been with her man, like, or, like, they're divorced already and, like, just chilling, you know? Like,
like, I'm a 40-year-old bride. I was like, girl, that is, you should be so proud because this is your first marriage.
Yeah.
Like, and he's been your man for almost 20 years. Like, that is a huge accomplishment. Like, if I think if y'all had gotten married 11 years ago or something, you wouldn't be together because it changes the dynamic. It's like, it's not necessarily like, and everybody's different. Everybody's timeline is different. But the fact that she was like, I'm a 40-year-old bride. I'm like, yeah. And it's your first go around, bitch. Yeah. Like, and your man was married before, but he's also 15 years older. So it's like, it's like, it makes sense for everybody involved and it's all good. Like, it was really cute.
Yeah. I mean, rushing to the altar doesn't, I've been advocating for this, like, later in life, wait for these things for a long time, because I think, like, you know, you get settled into a different, like, time in your life where, like, a different kind of partner may be, like, making more sense or whatever than, like, the previous decades of your life or whatever, you know? We're, like, evolve and change very much from like 18 to 40, you know, like it's well, quite a process.
Being the person in like your young 20s or your, you know, like I don't think that like age has a huge piece of the puzzle, because if you're 35 getting married for the first time, but and like you're going quickly, it's completely different than being 21 and marrying someone you've known for 2 months, right?
Totally.
You don't even know who you are, never mind know who they are.
Yeah.
So I think age dependent and like, and also experience dependent. Like if you've had no girlfriends or no partners and then you're getting married within like a month of meeting somebody, I don't know, maybe that will work, right? Like my therapist the other day, she was like, you know, people have surprised the fuck out of me, so I stopped putting timelines on anything. And I'm like, yeah, that is true. But I think the certainty that you can say about the other side of it, which is that, like, the better you know yourself, the better you are at choosing. Like, that's a thing we can say with
absolutely
certainty.
And I mean,
can you ask 20-something-year-old boyfriend when you're 20, you know, like, sure, possibly. I'm not saying that it's impossible, but, like, the stats of divorces are way higher when you get young, like, married young, of course.
Yeah, and I just think, like, even if, like, divorce isn't in it, like, you know, you certainly see a lot of people that, like, have grown in relationships and may not have, like, had the relationship grow with them, you know? Like, that certainly happens. But, like,
Snap. That was a good line.
I mean, it is what it is. Like, you know, I mean, part of me is just kind of like, you don't know yourself until you have, like, lived experiences, until you've kind of been through relationship cycles, you know? I mean, look, I'm willing to believe that, like, there are people in the world that have maybe worked on themselves so well as a single person for so many years that, like, they can get into a long and sustainable first relationship. Sure. You know? But, like, I've also seen people get into relationships later in life who haven't had relationships struggle with that, because it's very different than being single, especially if you're cohabitating, you know? And these are all things you, like, figure out the tricks to. Like, there's all sorts of things about cohabitation that I don't give a fuck about anymore. Like, I couldn't possibly. Like, the life gets so much more exponentially complicated and busy with every passing year, and your energy levels start going in the opposite direction with every passing year. So, you know, you find a balance in a relationship that is like, I'm with somebody that is low maintenance, because that may be what the most important thing to me is right now in my life, you know? And I think that's my goal. Everybody else can goal make, but I think really just being with somebody like you have a good time with, and like, you know, it's getting caught up in all sorts of definitions these days feels really complicated, especially with all like the social trauma going on in the world. Everybody's like a little unsure of like their footing. So just, you know, be with people, just be and try to find happy, you know? And I think that's like all you know, we can do. Like, I'm excited. I'm starting therapy back up. And, like, I think, you know, and as you know, I went to therapy for many years. So I talk from, like, a very therapeutic, like, index most of the time because I think that, you know, I did a lot of good work. But it was also at a very different time in my life. So I find myself, like, very curious, like, to come back after several years break and see, like, what is, like, kind of, like, my conversation with myself at, like, this age compared to, like, you know, a couple decades ago. I think it'll be a fascinating process. You know what I'm always worried about? Like, I always want to find these therapists that, like, understand, like, how plainly, like, I talk about, like, kind of queer radical sexuality and, like, ideas. And, like, it gets hard to have, like, a therapist that, like, you know, can't interpret your point of view, I guess. You know, I'm not saying it's any therapist's job to, like, agree with you. But you definitely need somebody that, like, can hold, like, a place that feels for you, like, very non-judgmental and very, you know, open to whatever your experience is without, like, having right. to think about their experience in terms of your experience. And I do think, you know, my first therapist was very, very good at that. So, you know, and we were from very different backgrounds and very different sexualities. But, like, you know, she was such a, like, well-versed clinician in, like, therapy that, like, it always felt really good and I felt right. So, you know, and I think that's kind of when you've had, like, a previous therapist for, and I'm talking almost a decade, it, like, you have this kind of thing that happens that I think is kind of like, well, nobody's going to live up to my first. You know, in a weird transference-y kind of way, right? Like, and I think that's fair, but I think, like, I've, you know, and I'm trying to be real with myself and say, hey, why haven't you? Why haven't, you know, you're somebody who is always talking about how good it is for everybody else. Like, why haven't you, like, re-engaged with it in so long? And, you know, we can excuse that away in a million different ways. It's hard. There's work. There's, you know, only so much time. And sure. But I think right there is, like, part of my crux is, like, I have such, like, an experience that is, like, you know, a good one, right? And it's not like a relationship. We didn't break up because we didn't like each other anymore. I relocated, right? So you have to, like, you know, kind of think about it as, like, okay, it's, you know, you're very used to a kind of interaction. And I think that's the way with, like, friends and, like, anybody that we really get used to. And when, you know, and it's also why I think making new friends when you're older can sometimes feel so complicated, because we may already at this point in our life have, like, one or two or several, like, friends that, like, we're really connected to, that have known us, that known us for a long time, that we feel comfortable being ourselves around. And so we have, like, a certain expectation. So when new people come along, it can be hard to have the patience for, like, that process of vulnerability and kind of, like, you know, do I like them? And also feeling like, oh, you know, do I have time to see if I, like, might like somebody again? You know?
I think you just summed it up by basically saying, like, you know, if something is worth it, then the work doesn't matter, you right. know, whatever that.
Well said.
And, like, all good things have work that are required. You don't just get given stuff unless yeah. you are a part of, like, the 1%. But, like, there, that's, you know, we have to work for the things that are the best things for us sometimes. And whether it's a new friendship or a therapist, it's like, yeah, it's sitting in some discomfort for a little bit, but that discomfort has a bigger payoff in the end, which is that you're establishing a new, you know, relationship in your life, whether it's right. therapy or friendship, totally. Whatever. And those are important. New relationships, you know, breed new thoughts and yeah. and keep you stagnant and stale, and it's good.
And, I mean, they are, like, definitely exhilarating, and it's exciting to, like, you know, imagine, you know, what's next, you know? And I think I feel that same way with, I mean, you know me. I'm very social. I will make friends easily, you know? And because I'm, like, also a flirt. In that social sense, like, you know, if you're paying attention to me, I'm paying attention to you. What's up? You know, I realize that.
Well,
Yeah.
I mean, my therapist cried yesterday, so.
Okay.
There you go.
How did you make your therapist cry?
So she basically, so first of all, I will say this. My therapist will be at my wedding. Like, that's my
nice.
I found a therapist that is has a lot of similarities to, like, my life's trajectory. Like, we have similar mom stuff. We have similar, you know, whatever. So, I didn't look for her based on that. I looked for her based on all of her qualifications and the things that, like, she's a sex therapist as well. So, obviously, she already deals with sex workers. She's LGBTQ plus friendly. Like, all of those different things. So, that's what drew me to her. And then, you know, what kept me with her is the fact that, like, she's in my age range. She lives, like, somewhere in the vicinity of where I live. Like, she understands the city experience, if you will. You know, all of those things.
Yeah.
And so I, like, her and I, like, sometimes we'll just sit there and laugh at, like, me talking shit. And she'll just be like, girl. And I'm like, girl, oh, my God, bitch. Like, that's how I talk to my therapist. And
that's
yesterday,
awesome.
I gave her an update on some life stuff, and I don't really want to talk about it here, but
no, that's okay.
I gave her an update on some new little piece of information that goes along with just, like, my current year's trajectory, and it made her cry in happiness because she basically was like, she didn't, like, bawl, she got, like, teary. She was like, girl, aww. Oh my God, I'm not excited right now. And I was like, oh my God, really? She was like, yeah, because you fucking deserve this. You deserve that. She was just like, so like, girl, I'm so fucking happy for you. And she was like, this is what you need and deserve and all of it. And it was just really nice. It was really, really nice.
That's
really
beautiful.
I'll just say that as, like, a way to, you know, kind of aid you in the whole, like, process. It is a little, you know, sometimes it stokes a little fear, a little anxiety because it's new. And it's, like you said, like, you have to get used to the person. They have to start to learn you. But that's the best part, is, like, they get to figure you out and put all these little pieces together so that that way when shit does hit the fan, they can process you properly and they can help you properly. Love. I love that. Like, when I go to her and I'm yelling, she's like, all right, so this is what we're going to do. I know how your brain works. I know, like, what kind of thing would work well for you or maybe wouldn't. So she'll do, like, an EDMR session with me if she wants to, like, lower my anxiety around a topic, or we'll do practice convos, because right now I'm working on being less of, like, a pushover doormat, you know, like, that's people pleasing, like, that's a huge thing I got from my childhood,
right?
And so I have a hard time bringing up, like, tougher quote-unquote topics that involve, you know, me advocating for myself, for example.
Sure.
And so we'll do test runs of conversations, which really helps me because it's a way for me to get it out there into the ether, have it heard by somebody who can then give me some feedback and be like, you know what, based on what I know about this person that you've told me, maybe that wouldn't be the right thing to say, you know, like little things like that. And so, like, I find therapy can be very, very helpful for even just the simplest things that you're dealing with. Like, I think a lot of people think of therapy as, like, you're going to be digging through your trauma and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I do therapy twice a week, and sometimes I call her and I'm like, I have nothing to update you on, but guess what I did yesterday? And she's
nice.
Like, what? And I'm like, I did this, and I told them no. And she stepped on my shoe, and I told her clean it. And this is, you know, like, whatever.
Yeah.
And she's just like, fuck yeah, girl. And she just sits there and just cheers me on. So, like, for anybody listening, like, a big thing about therapy I want everybody to understand is that you can use it however you want. They are there to be paid to help you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you show up therapy one day, say, you know, say through your insurance you can't miss therapy or you need 24 hours cancellation, say you're like, fuck, I really don't want to go, but I can't, it's too late to cancel, fine. You show up and you just say, you know what, I kind of just like to sit in silence for 45 minutes. You can do that.
100%.
They are there to provide a space for you that feels safe, and whatever that safety looks like for you that day is whatever it looks like. They will do that for you. I have never encountered a mental health person that's like, no, I don't want to hold space for you. Like, that's their job.
Yeah.
You know, they could get fired for not. So, so if anybody's ever afraid of, like, well, I don't want to talk every week, that's okay. You don't have to.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you that you'll think you have nothing to talk about. And then all of a sudden you'll be like, oh, but this thing happened yesterday and I realized that I really need to work on my you know, interactions with blah, 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 or like my quick to assume or whatever, you know, you don't think about it when you're heading into therapy, but then all of a sudden it's like a floodgate and you just start talking and you're like, oh, and this is great.
And I will always say this, what I do know and what I've always like told people is like, you have to give like the experience like a chance. Like if you meet somebody and you don't like their personality, 100% don't, you know, if you feel judged or you're just something isn't clicking, like why force yourself into it, you know? But, you know, I will say this, like, yeah, it is always an awkward start, you know, but they're to facilitate the journey. So what you know, I'm saying, I think we're saying these things because we do have like a little of experience of good, like, therapeutic counseling situations, and like it's things to look out for that you should feel like a therapist that is like, you know, telling you like, hey, you know, if you can't think about what you want to talk about right now, let's just kind of sit here and as things come up and pop up for you in your mind or whatever, or don't, like, let's talk about them. And you know, when you have like a kind of invitation without pressure, yeah, you will eventually have something to talk about. It's really, and I think like what you were saying earlier, it's, you learn a lot about like how to communicate yourself in therapy. And I think that is an incredibly extraordinary tool for all aspects of like our lives, like from family to professionally to like relationships. It helps you like articulate yourself and learn really good ways like to like be able to tell somebody something without putting them on the defense, you know, like that's a hard skill. Like learning the idea of using I statements and saying, I'm feeling this way, not you're making me feel this way, you know? So it's kind of like, it helps like the communication process. 'Cause if you're saying, I'm feeling this way from what I'm hearing, you know, and whatever it is, it's different. And like, you might get more of a like willing to play ball with that, you know, a person with, I'm sorry, that's not my intention, you know? And I think like that's an important way to start conversations, especially about feelings and relationships. I see it in like workplaces all the time. It's like, what I'm hearing is everybody is frustrated. What I'm hearing is nobody knows what the next step is. And that's frustrating, you know, we definitely don't like that. And that happens in every kind of relationship where communication is required. So I think you should go in with whatever expectation. Obviously, if you're a go-getter, you know, have some goals, but like, you know, maybe give yourself a chance to build out some of those goals with your counselor as well, you know, because then you can kind of like, hey, you know, take a trained professional's opinion on like kind of where the best place is to start, you know? And I think, you know, if you're feeling all those things and you're feeling listened to and heard and you're like feeling like you're giving practical things and tools to put in your like arsenal, like emotional and otherwise, then like it's a good match. You know, and I have to say, I love, as your friend, I've, like, certainly, like, loved hearing, like, you know, definitely greater bouts of positivity from you. Like, you know, it's always a radical thing to me, you know, and I think because, like, I am surrounded by people in therapy right now on one level, or not surrounded, but you know what I mean? People that are close to me are in therapy, that it's, you know, it's an infectious experience because you see the change in them and you see, like, the positive notes of, like, how that experience is like helping them feel better in like the everyday.
Right.
Asserting their emotions over some of these things is, you know, no matter how they assert it, it's going to like probably going to be made to feel like the bad guy, you know? And like, it is important. And that's why all the therapy, you're like, you're not ever a bad person for, you know, saying where your boundary line is. And I think that is something, right, the most important thing from therapy. And like, especially it helps with family. Like, you know, once you start practicing it, it's infectious, you know? And I think that is tough. We really, you know, we've talked about this kind of stuff in terms of like consent before, but that's all boundaries are, is like you like showing where the consent line like ends. You know, this is where this stops. So don't ask for consent. Don't talk about it. Don't do it. Period. That's my boundary, you know, whatever it is. So I think that is tough. You know, it's definitely tough with your family and like we've said, legacy friends, like they don't necessarily understand what's happening for you. And like, you don't have to explain that to them. You know, you certainly can if you want to be like a vulnerable person and whatever. But like, you know, people change.
I'm just like, you know, my therapist told me to stop being such a pushover. And it's true. I mean, honestly, like, that's where it all comes from, is like, yeah, my therapist is suggesting that I don't do certain things, or that I, you know, so I have no problem scapegoating my therapist. And that's a valid thing too. You know, like if you feel awkward 100%. Being like, I need to assert myself, but I don't know how.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
your therapist told you to.
No, totally. Like, I mean, like, I think that is a great, like, actually icebreaker for some of those conversations too. Like, hey, you yeah. know, I've been in therapy, you know, or maybe you don't know, like, I've been in therapy and I'm trying to work on stuff to, like, you know, up my quality of life. Yeah, I usually keep it like really hang loose. Like, you know, that's my goal in therapy, is like, you know, to improve happiness, right? Like, whatever that, you know, main thing is in your head, then that's what you're doing. So I think that is a very powerful way to talk to people. I mean, obviously we still live in a world that people feel many different ways about that process still, unfortunately. And there's a lot of cultural different feelings about that process, and I get it. But still saying and talking, it is a great experience. It's one to explore. And no, not everybody's going to understand where you're at, but you can tell them. And if they don't understand, that's not your fucking problem. Okay. You know, it's, you know, it's just like we say with so many things, it's not my problem to help you understand why you're homophobic or why you're racist or why you're stupid. Like,
you, not my business problem. Exactly. Yeah.
And like, you know, I mean, I'm glad we're having this conversation. You know, it feels like really good for like the times, you know, like, you yeah. know, I just said yesterday in a meeting with like one of my advisors for school, like, I'm still waiting when we're going to have the discussion about the collective global trauma of COVID. Somebody, right. Anywhere, hello. We have the data that shows what that trauma looks like financially, physically, health, mentally, addiction wise, on so many levels we have that data, but there's no conversation happening about it. And I know it's a big task to kind of try to heal the world with the idea of like, let's talk about something that was very frightening in our modern times to people and was very confusing and then became very politicized and scary. So, you know, I think it's good to stop and pause and have some reflective moments. And like, yeah, it's a stressful time. So take care of yourself.
Get the fuck in therapy.
Amen.
It's funny, I was at the wedding, a couple, I'm not going to say who, but the man and woman of a couple came up to me at different times and expressed upset about their partner.
Oh, really?
And
partner, yeah, trashing. And they, I love it.
They've been married for, you know, 20 years or something. Uh-huh. And I suggested to one couples counseling, and then to the other, when they came to me and were like, I don't know what to do, I was like, would you be up for couples counseling? And they were like, well, I would do whatever she wants. And then I told her, and mm-hmm. then she was able to talk to him about it. And now they're in couples counseling. So.
Oh, hell yeah. Score. Ding, ding, ding.
I am all about spreading that fucking healed era shit to everybody. It's never too late to go to therapy. You're not too old. You don't have to dig up things you don't want to talk about. Mm. I think it's good for you to talk about all the things that make you, but at the same time, do whatever you want in therapy. Like, yeah. Again, it's not laying on a chair and being like, so doc, my mom didn't give me the piece of cheese I asked for when I was four. You know, it's like,
No.
Yeah, you can go there, but you don't have to, you know?
Yeah, you don't. You don't. You know, it's the whole point, and like we've said this before, is the general idea of having time scheduled for yourself, of which the whole point of the time is for you on whatever capacity, is healthy, is therapeutic. I mean, people get massages, you know what I'm saying? It's a similar principle. You know, you take an hour to read or write, or, you know, all of these things is about taking time for yourself to have conversations with yourself, to relax with yourself, because we don't have a focus. There's nothing in society that tells us that that's important. You know, you hear like the work-life balance. I mean, what the, that's a fucking tagline at this point. Like, it's not real. And if you actually try to practice work-life balance in most of these corporations and companies, you won't have a job for very long. So, you know.
Exactly.
Don't bullshit us.
They're like work-life balance. They're like, put in a PTO request.
Right.
Fuck off.
Or call the EAP or whatever, employee assistance program at your company if you're having, if you're struggling with stress. You know, it's, and I'm not saying the people on the other end of these like lines and like services aren't wonderful. They are in many cases. You know, I've done the smoke quit lines before and it certainly worked. And like, you know, I've had wonderful, you know, success with certain assistance things in my life. But, you know, we're not encouraged to take that time and focus on ourselves. And I think it's super, super important right now that, like, you know, you take the time to comfort yourself at the very least, and whatever that looks like, you know, healthily, mind you. Escapism is a whole nother conversation. but one that I don't necessarily not advocate for a little bit, but within reason, you know, so.
Amen to that.
Amen. Well, what a lovely audience. We got to do this shit live, like, at some point.
Yeah, we should.
Like, it would be pretty, I think it would be kind of entertaining, you know? Like, you know, let people kind of, or let us, actually, love y'all, but it's more about, let us groove off of, like, the idea of an audience and, like, some sort of, like, audience interaction, so. I mean, you're already wonderful at that. I see you at these shows. Like, you've got such great personality. So, you know, I wonder how I will be.
I don't know anymore. I don't. It's been a while since I've had to put it on. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, thank you for talking to me, girl. I'm glad you're home. I missed you.
Well, I miss you too. I'm glad I'm home.
Yay-hoo. Yay-hoo.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to The Screw. We'll be back next week talking about kibbles and bits.
And bits and bits.